Welcome to St. Louis on the Air. I'm Don Marsh. Today we discuss an issue that has political, civic, and law enforcement officials staying awake nights. It's gun violence. In recent weeks, the number of shootings and shooting deaths has spiked in our city and others across the country. The question is why? Our guests today have one answer. They say it's increased drug use and that the increase has been kicked up by the opioid epidemic. We'll talk it over with representatives of two organizations collaborating to help reverse these trends. The names of the organizations pretty much tell their stories. James Clark is vice president of community outreach with Better Family Life. Howard Weissman is the executive director for the National Council on Alcoholism and Drug Abuse for the St. Louis area. I thank you both so much for being with us. Nice to have you.
It is good to be here. Sorry I wasn't able to join you in studio.
That's quite all right. I'm glad we have you by phone. And Howard, good to see you. You are, of course, in studio. James, let me begin with you. How do the interests, and the same question will go to Howard when you finish, how do the interests of your two organizations converge on these issues?
Well, we at Better Family Life, through our community outreach department, which I head, we've taken a very deep dive into our more challenged neighborhoods and into our open-air drug markets. These are areas in neighborhoods where drugs are bought and sold and used literally in public view around the clock. So through our efforts, we saw the need to kind of have a big brother in this struggle, where we are boots on the ground. We see the NCADA and Howard's organization having the professional infrastructure that as we began to break down the barriers and as we began to meet the individuals and as we began to come up with neighborhood-based solutions, we now have a partner that can reinforce us on the ground.
Howard Weissman, would you call this an unusual collaboration?
I wouldn't call it an unusual collaboration because our missions are aligned in a lot of significant ways. And when it comes to the issue of gun violence, the connection to substance abuse is pretty direct, and it's easy to see how our organizations would overlap. Gun violence and substance abuse sort of go hand in hand, and they share the same risk factors. And some of those would include poor school performance and a weak attachment to family, or a weak attachment to community. So these are some of the ways where NCADA does bring expertise, particularly with respect to prevention activities.
Howard, gun violence has been increasing in St. Louis, as we all know, at an alarming rate. Does that mean that that drug abuse is increasing at a similar kind of rate?
Well, it's an interesting story. I mean, we're all hearing about the opioid epidemic, and we need to be hearing about the opioid epidemic because, indeed, this is the worst drug epidemic in American history. And let me put it in perspective for you. We've had three drug epidemics in our country. 1973, 1974, we had a heroin epidemic. Returning vets from Vietnam, it was largely an urban problem. It's a kind of problem that was described in a cover story in Life magazine, which if you're as old as I am, Life magazine used to be like the New Yorker. It was an authoritative place for investigative journalism. And that epidemic affected about 1.5 out of 100,000 people. And 10 or 15 years later, there was a crack epidemic, which affected nearly 2 people per 100,000. The current opioid epidemic is affecting 10.3 people per 100,000. And those are the national averages. In places like West Virginia or New Hampshire, it's 40 or 30 per 100,000. So this is a massive public health emergency of size and scale that nobody's ever seen before.
James Clark, do you – the same question to you that I started with Howard here. This increased gun violence, do you attribute that to increased drug use?
You know, I do think that that there is a relationship, but when you look at gun violence, you have to parallel the culture in some of our more challenged neighborhoods, where gun violence is accepted and expected in certain people's lives. And so we believe that, once again, we've got to take a much deeper dive, and we've got to be able to bring constructive programming into our more challenged neighborhoods. We are seeing a spike in gun violence, but this is something, Don, that we had been predicting going as far back as 2007, when we saw a mentality beginning to form. And in this mentality, conflicts are solved with a gun. And so due to our collective inability to invest in the human capital, primarily in our more challenged neighborhoods, this culture has been able to form, and now it's beginning to morph into dimensions that we are not prepared for.
Well, Howard mentioned the opioid epidemic in particular. Is this something that you're seeing on the street, or is it actually that the opioid problem often leads to heroin addiction?
Definitely. It's a very, very dangerous environment. Opioids use is on the rise. Heroin addiction is on the rise. Then you have synthetic drugs that have really entered into the urban market, where you have K2, and then in this current community, drugs are swirling like I've never seen before, where now young people are now crushing pills and mixing it with cough medicine, and they call that syrup. And then it's also now being promoted in some of the more popular, well, by some of the more popular rap artists and other entertainers. So we are happy to have the partnership, because it once again is a strong collaboration that's going to yield a lot of promise, and it'll help shift the focus in the St. Louis metropolitan area. Right now, we seem to have priorities that do not address our more pressing needs. Right now, we have a gun violence problem and a crime problem, and we have a drug crisis. Well, both are at crisis level right now. Let me restate that. Both are at crisis level right now.
Howard Weissman, is this then a crime problem or a public health problem?
Well, there's a case to be made that both gun violence and substance use disorder are both public health problems and should be treated accordingly. I mean, they have many different points of intersection, and the solution, if you're going to find a solution, it seems to me, and I think it would seem to James, because these are the efforts that they're putting forth, that the way forward is to address the underlying factors, the lack of economic opportunities that would lead somebody to a criminal enterprise like selling drugs, the abundance of impoverishment and pain in communities and in people's lives that would make it more likely for them to turn to drugs to relieve the pain. And in my view, both of these are public health problems. In fact, I would say they're both public health emergencies.
Yes.
James, the conditions that Howard just outlined here are nothing new to those of us who have been around for a while. We've been identifying those as sources of the problem for a long time. And yet the problem keeps getting worse. I mean, how do you reverse that?
Well, that's a good question, and is one that has been asked, and now we've got to call it like it is. We don't want to take a deep enough dive. Social service organizations for too long have existed, and they have not done a good job of doing outreach. We have got to now be able to go into our more challenged neighborhoods and deal with the element directly. So through Better Family Life, we have our neighborhood alliance model where we're active in four St. Louis City neighborhoods and four St. Louis County neighborhoods, where we do aggressive outreach. We go door to door. We do family assessments. Each member of the family, we want to know what are your social service needs, Don. And then we align each member of the family with a resource. If it's employment, if it's drug treatment, if it's legal matters, if it's the need to get a GED, if it's a need to get employment. So we just think that we have analyzed this to the hilt. We understand the underlying problems. We have enough data. There has been enough narrative. There are volumes of studies now. We believe that we've got to take that next step, which is to go into the neighborhoods and do direct neighborhood engagement. So we have our gun violence de-escalation centers that go into the neighborhoods. We learn about conflicts, and we go about the task of de-escalating gun violence, de-escalating conflicts that have a trajectory towards gun violence. Then to address the drug addiction problem, we set up on Thursdays in the Jeff Vanderloo neighborhood right along Grand Boulevard, and every Tuesday we're in the Hamilton Heights neighborhood. We set up a tent. We do health screening. We provide food. We look at what resources each individual may need. We are now passing out condoms to the prostitutes. We are doing health screening. And one of the other things that we're doing is we're taking people and we're helping them get into treatment. See, we have got to have a very hands-on and a very boots-on-the-ground approach as we deal with this issue of gun violence and as we deal with the issue of drug addiction. We cannot sit back any longer. St. Louis is a small town. We should be able to come together collectively just as we are doing and then take a very hands-on grassroots approach.
I want to pick up on that point, but I do have to take a break. You've been listening to James Clark, Vice President of Community Outreach for Better Family Life. Howard Weissman is with me in studio. He's Executive Director for the National Council on Alcoholism and Drug Abuse. And we're talking today about the intersection of drug use, drug abuse, and continued street violence here in St. Louis and other parts of the country. Back to continue our conversation in a moment. This is St. Louis on the Air on St. Louis Public Radio, 90.7 KWMU. Now back to our conversation with Howard Weissman of the National Council on Alcoholism and Drug Abuse here in St. Louis. James Clark is Vice President of Community Outreach for Better Family Life, Incorporated. Howard, let me come back to you. And James has just outlined what his organization is doing in the neighborhoods and what have you. What does your organization bring to the table in this particular effort?
Well, in this particular effort, our organization brings similar kinds of community engagement at different communities around St. Louis. We work with 27 different community coalitions in the region. So I must say that the work that Better Family Life is doing and in the neighborhoods in which it's doing it is absolutely invaluable. And you need community outreach, and you need to have more in community engagement. But what James hasn't said yet, and I imagine he'll agree with, is that in order to scale this up, in order to have this be available to all of those who need it, and consider that in this country there's about 22 million people suffering from substance use disorder, and only one out of 10 of those is getting treatment. So in order to scale up to a point where there's outreach to the people who need it and then available and affordable treatment for those who do, there has to be a massive infusion of financial resources. We have to have the will, and we have to have the means with which to pay for all of those who need the kind of treatment that we know they need.
I just want to back up here just a little bit because I want to, again, reestablish this connection between opioid abuse and the drug problem we're talking about. Opioid abuse often leads to a heroin problem, and that is well known and certainly part of the picture. But are you making the case, do you make the case that the opioid epidemic is increasing violent crime?
Well, I'm not going to make that case because I mean, it's undoubtedly true that the influx of particularly Mexican cartels selling opioids and heroin, especially fentanyl-laced heroin, does lead to turf wars and territorial wars and gun violence that way. But we can't ever forget about our old friend alcohol. Mm. You know, when you look at the victims of violent death, about 14% of those are related to opioids. 40% of them are related to other drugs, and James mentioned some of those, the synthetics and methamphetamine and things like that. 42% of people who die from a violent death will test positive for alcohol. Only 12% of people who die violently have no drugs in their system. Mm. So if there is a contributing factor to violent crime in general and gun violence in particular, it is our old friend alcohol.
All right. Let me turn that back to you then, James. I mean, we're kind of deviating from the script here in the sense that I think most people assume that that the drug abuse we're talking about are the hard drugs. But your take on the alcohol aspect, it too is a drug.
Yeah, alcohol has kind of been taken out of the narrative as it relates to gun violence. But you can parallel and you can look at the neighborhoods that have a large number of liquor stores. Those are the neighborhoods where you have a lot of violence. And so I do think that when you have the drugs that enter the market, that they get a lot of the attention. But, you know, alcohol is a major contributing factor to some of this gun violence. And so we do need to look at the number of liquor stores. I think that we need to also look at the number of gas stations that now sell liquor. Then we need to look at going a step further and look at the number of alcohol billboards that are in our neighborhoods. So St. Louis, we have got to take a very holistic approach as we look at this epidemic of crime and drug addiction. And we've got to take a hands-on approach. It's not good enough to understand the data. We've got to go many dimensions beyond the data, make it personal, deal with it as though we are dealing with a crisis, and then addressing it on the street level. We have got to lower our overall trajectory, and then just as Howard mentioned, we have got to be able to put some funding behind this. See, we have got to shift our social service funding priorities to meet what is going on. We have had a lot of high-profile efforts. We have had a lot of high-profile efforts with a large price tag that receive support. Those big-ticket items are in jeopardy as long as we have young girls and young boys experimenting with drugs at the age of 10. And as long as you have young boys and young girls who at 12, 13, and 14 already have access to guns and who have a mentality that if you anger them, the gun is the way to solve it. So St. Louis, we're in a very, very precarious situation right now. If we do not make drug addiction and violence the most important things moving forward, then St. Louis, we can hit a major skid right now. St. Louis, we are branded as one of the most dangerous cities in America. You go anywhere on the planet, really, and you say St. Louis, anywhere on the planet, and the response will be, hey, that's a rough place to live. Because collectively, we do things in a very short-sighted fashion. We've got to understand that we've got to focus on these two issues in order to turn St. Louis around. It is a national problem, but we have to take a local approach and look at what is it going to take, and we've got to be willing to put the funding behind efforts that are going straight into the belly of the beast.
Let me read an email here, and James, I'll start with you to respond to it first. Tom writes, is substance abuse and gun violence a result of having a low income, or is having a low income a result of substance abuse and gun violence, and can this be addressed at all?
Yeah, that's a very interesting. That's what came first, the chicken or the egg.
Yeah.
So. But in order to really address it, the first thing you have to do is you've got to have a presence where the individual is who's grappling with that reality. We got to get hands on. See, Don. If I didn't think we could turn St. Louis around, James Clark would go do something else. But I see St. Louis being able to reverse its course. I see St. Louis being able to emerge and have the same violence level as Denver or as Boston has or as Seattle has. They all have violence, but it's nowhere near the level that St. Louis has. So St. Louis, we have promise, but just as Howard says, we've got to put the resources into the programs that go straight to the street level.
Let me take this to Howard now. Howard, yeah. I think we would have to point out in conjunction with a question asked about poverty and drug abuse that not all drug abusers are poor. I mean, that cuts a wide swath through all demographics, doesn't it?
Yeah, there's a expression in the field where we call addiction the equal opportunity destroyer. But if you are living in a disadvantaged community, if you have no money, if you have no health insurance, the resources available to deal with the problems associated with a substance use disorder become so much harder and so much bigger. And having said that, substance use disorder is something that affects everyone in all communities. And if we want a solution, we have to, I think, look at three different areas. We have to look at treatment, and we have to look at prevention and education, and we do have to look at law enforcement. You know, we do have to continue to find ways of curtailing the supply of drugs. There was just a seizure of 27 kilos of fentanyl. 27 kilos is enough to kill almost 14 million people, which is the population of New York, Los Angeles, and Dallas combined. Treatment for substance use disorder is expensive, and we have to ask ourselves, well, what does it mean? What does effective treatment look like? It's not 28 days and you're cured. It's not, here's a prescription for buprenorphine and you're cured. It's time intensive. It involves lots of human resources. It involves a great deal of time and money. Once addiction takes root, it is expensive and it is difficult to find your way to recovery. The most effective and cost-effective way to deal with this issue is, I think, to make a concerted effort to expand our prevention infrastructure.
Let's get a couple of listeners into the program as time will allow. I'd like to start with Mike calling from St. Louis. Mike, you're on the air. Make it quick if you would, please.
Hi. We're not looking at the source of the problem, which is fundamentally the taking of drugs is ultimately a choice. There's nothing in the world we can do to stop that. What we do when we criminalize drug addiction is we take away people's choice. It's so they're sort of like you climb over the wall to get to this drug and you can't get back out. You're in an environment that is criminalized. The drug dealers are the ones that are just ordinary business people, and they need guns to protect their business and themselves. And that's where the violence comes from. The taking of drugs is not in and of itself the cause of violence. So we need to somehow, I mean, the opioid epidemic is demonstrating how pathetic the war on drugs is and how our medical community is not really able to help us without our own freedom to make choices.
Mike, thank you for the call. I want to ask James to respond to that, if you would, James, but do it quickly. Our time is running out.
Yeah, no. Mike's point is valid, that some of it does boil down to turf, where drug dealers have established a place where they sell, so that does bring about a certain amount of risk, and it does result in violence. And see, that's where a holistic approach has to come into play. We've got to be able to provide opportunities for young men and women so that selling drugs does not necessarily have to be the most present option for them.
We're bouncing around a little bit on subject matter dealing with the drug abuse situation. We're talking about alcohol and we're talking about different kinds of drugs. But Howard, in the time that we have left, I'd like you to address something that's in the news today, and that is the fact that the Attorney General of Missouri is coming down fairly hard on the pharmaceutical firms, suing them because of their distribution of opioids. I think you'd probably want to say something about that. Good idea? Bad idea?
No, I think it's a good idea, and I think it's an overdue idea. Missouri is, I think, the third state to do this, preceded by Mississippi and Ohio, but we're taking a page out of the tobacco settlement playbook, in which 46 states' attorneys general filed suit against the big tobacco companies. The tobacco settlement led to a massive increase in education and prevention, which led to the lowest smoking rates in American history today. So, or in modern American history today. So, going after the pharmaceutical companies, making sure that they, pardon the pun, belly up to the bar and are held accountable for their role in this opioid epidemic makes abundant sense. And I think they are partially culpable. They should take responsibility. And those funds should be used for prevention and education. Remember, the tobacco settlement, hundreds of millions of dollars came to Missouri, and the legislature put it into general revenue, did not.
All right. Well, obviously, there's a lot of ground that has to be covered to deal with all of the problems leading to the problem we were talking about today, which is gun violence. I have to end it there. Unfortunately, I wish we had more time, but we'll get together another time and continue it. I want to thank you, James Clark, Vice President of Community Outreach with Better Family Life, for being with us. Continue your good work in the community. Howard Weissman is Executive Director for the National Council on Alcoholism and Drug Abuse for the St. Louis area. This is St. Louis on the Air on St. Louis Public Radio, 90.7 KWMU.